Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 2 for November 14th, 2006. Bring out your dead. Net at Night is brought to you by Dell. For great laptop and desktop deals, visit Leo's Picks page at twit.tv/Dell. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. And a good evening. It is a Sunday night, the 12th night of November 2006, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time. It's time for Net at Night. I'm Leo Laporte, and Amber MacArthur is in Canada. Hello, Amber.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
Good evening to you. We figured out what was wrong with your mic. Actually, we didn't figure it out, but it just got fixed.
Oh, good. Actually, Leo, I have one question for you. I have my fan on in the background. I'm just going to... Can you hear it at all?
No, not at all. It sounds fine.
Oh, okay, great.
Is it a really warm night in Toronto tonight?
It's quite warm, around 85 degrees and palm trees. You should really get up here, Leo.
I'm leaving tomorrow, and I'm just so glad to hear the weather report's so nice because, you know, it's only 56 degrees here in Petaluma, so I'll be warming up when I go to Toronto tonight.
You sure will.
You lie. I can see.
No, you
can see.
You know what? Bring your hat, Leo. I don't know what you call that.
My toque?
Yeah, not the toque. You have in one of those other hats that has a sort of furry flaps on the side thing.
I'm going to need the flaps. It's that bad?
No, I just want to see you walking around in it.
The truth comes out. I think it's heavy coat weather, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting there. It's not too bad yet, but it's been quite rainy, so I would definitely bring a raincoat and... bring a toque just in case. You never know how cold it might get, but it's been not great. It's been just kind of dreary. So unfortunately, it's not 85 degrees. It'll be another 8 months before that happens.
I always have to decide what coat to bring with me to Toronto, and last time it was kind of a midweight coat, but this time I think it's going to be a heavyweight coat. I can just tell, and a scarf. And the toque, yes. And the flaps. So we're going to have a party in Toronto, you know. You're not going to be there, but we're going to have a fun time and no regrets without you on Tuesday night. It's the launch of PixSpot. And a little later on in the show, PixSpot is Undo TV's home site. It's the people who are doing all the bandwidth and all the back end and everything for us. A little later on the show, Scott Waddell from PixSpot, which is a Toronto company. That's why we're having the launch in Toronto. Will join us. Also, Chris Perillo to explain... what Undo TV is, why we're doing Undo TV, what PixSpot's relationship is, and how it all works together. So great. That's going to be, it's going to be very exciting.
Try to stop by, Leo.
You can if you want. I'm not saying you can't come.
If I get off work early enough, I think I will definitely try.
I'm letting you off the hook because weekdays I know are very tough for you.
Weekdays are no fun.
You are going actually to leave us in about 25 minutes because you're doing a radio interview on CFRB at 10 tonight.
Yeah, I have to leave a little bit early, but this won't happen again. It won't be a regular thing, but that's what happens when we have the show at the same time.
That's what happens when Strombo calls, and don't you lie to me. I know the truth. You're going to have fun. I wish I could hear it. Well, I can hear it. It streams on the net.
Yeah, you can listen in at 10 o'clock.
I will. I'll be listening. So let's talk a little bit about what happened on the net this week. You sent me some really interesting links. What do you want to start with?
I really would like to start with ChaCha, which is just at chacha.com. And this is a live search engine. So what happens when you go in and search on the site is that you can actually get instant messaging help. So you have a live person who you can talk to who can help you while you're searching.
I just don't get how this could possibly work. Is it fast? I mean, do you have to type in a thing and then wait? This seems like a backward step.
Leo, you know what? I tested it out today, which was lots of fun, and I sat there and I pretended that I was trying to find out how much the Nintendo Wii costs. And so I went in and I clicked on the little chat button, and then someone came up and said, "Welcome to Cha-Cha." And I said, "I would like to know how much the Nintendo Wii costs." And she said, "Just hold on 1 minute." Then she sent me a link to the Nintendo Wii on Wikipedia, and she said, "You should scroll down halfway through the page to get information about pricing, but I wanted to let you know that it is approximately, I think it was $249 or $299. And so she gave me all the information, and I wrote back and I said, "Thank you very much." Wow. And so it's for lazy surfers.
I don't understand how they expect this to work. How many helpers, how many live people do they have?
I have no idea. I literally tried it out because I didn't think it was going to work at all, and I didn't think anyone would be on the other end. And there was someone there, and it was immediate.
Well, of course, nobody knows about it yet.
Yeah, that's a bit of the problem.
If you go to underground.chacha.com, chacha, C-H-A-C-H-A.com, they show you, I don't know if these are all the guides, but they show you, there's four guides, and they give you a profile of them and stuff.
Yeah, so they're going to have to hire quite a few more people
if
this gets popular at all. But, you know, I always bounce stuff off my roommate, Jenna, to see if she would use something like this. And when I told her about it, she thought it was great because she gets really frustrated when she's doing internet research. I mean, we might be used to it and we're very familiar with how to find things. But she said the idea that she would have someone there who could direct her to something was a really great thing.
It's funny that the way they're trying to monetize, at least the Cha-Cha Underground, is with Google ads. Maybe they'll have their own ads at some point. The idea, it's Scott Jones and Brad Bostic, two dynamic entrepreneurs, it says in the Cha-Cha site, who wanted to create a smart search engine powered by human intelligence. Exactly kind of the opposite direction. But I guess if you're going to compete with Google, you can't try to do a better Google.
No, you're really just enhancing Google, and you're just, you know, allowing that extra level of interactivity so someone can go in and get help on the fly. It was great. You know, I'm going to start using it just for fun and see if they can find things.
See, you're a girl. A guy doesn't want to ask for directions, doesn't want to ask a guy. A guy wants to interact with a machine. See, this is a girl search engine. That's what I think. No?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I probably wouldn't use it all the time, but I do think it's kind of cool. And I do think it's neat for someone like maybe my mom or even my dad who doesn't know how to find something. If he can get live help in a search engine right away, it's very cool.
I can see Jennifer using this. Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is I think it's meant for people who, when all of a sudden they see that there are 10,000 results on dozens and dozens of pages, they don't necessarily want to go through all those pages. They want to get help. They want to find what they're looking for right away.
This is one thing that would worry me just a little bit in the Cha-Cha, you know, about us. When your query is submitted, it goes to a guide. Because we're so new, we have a limited pool of guides to field these questions. So you may at times be connected to a guide who is not necessarily an expert on the subject. Rest assured that the guide is still an expert in something. In internet search, actually, will most likely find you exactly what you need. If not, you may be transferred to a guide who may have better insight into your question.
It's kind of neat.
I think it's a very good idea. Cha-Cha. Cha-Cha.com. Let's see if we can crash Cha-Cha.
Everybody go to Cha-Cha. this will be the meanest thing we ever do, Leo, is just try to bring down sites.
Hey, that's the value of doing it live, though, right? We can actually send people. We can marshal the Twit army.
We could take them. We could send them all over to one location. But we should try to crash sites maybe that are doing something bad out there, not necessarily the startups.
Okay. No, let's not crash them. And by the way, we are on TalkShoe, and I should mention that. TalkShoe.com. We do it live Sunday nights on TalkShoe, and then you can hear the podcast on Tuesdays, edited and cleaned up in higher quality. But one of the reasons we do it on TalkShoe is so people can call in, and we will start taking calls a little later on. So if you want to get on the queue, go ahead and get on the queue. Somebody in the chat room, that's the other thing you can do, is you can chat. Somebody in the chat room, it looks like... Vox Libertas said, "Evil Leo, a girl search engine." I would think Vox is a girl, but I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, guys don't like to interact with humans, right?
Yeah, I think that's generally true. And I think generally speaking,
cute girls.
Yeah, exactly. And then generally speaking, anyone who's geeky or tech savvy is not going to ask for. Yeah, they're not going to want this. But, you know, half of the population of people on the internet are female, and so if they're more likely to ask for directions, then I think they have a good thing going.
It's for mom. I want to thank the listener who sent me a link to Apple's site, the Leopard Server Sneak Peek, because there's a feature of the Leopard Server. Leopard's the next version of OS X, which will be out sometime in the first quarter of 2007. There's a feature called Podcast Producer in it that kind of got me interested. There's a whole page dedicated to it. Podcast Producer is a complete end-to-end solution for video capture, encoding, and content delivery. All you need is a video camera, Mac, and Leopard Server to produce podcasts of employee training. You know, well, you can see where they're going with this. This is a business-to-business kind of thing. But I guess it serves podcasts. It it automates capturing, publishing. An interesting way that Apple is kind of, once again, co-opting podcasting.
Yeah, they've always gotten really big on podcasting.
Boy, this is the biggest, though, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a pretty cool thing to have something that allows you to really complete the process of producing a podcast. Whereas before, I think with GarageBand, it just kind of scraped the surface a little bit.
Or we can do what Command N does.
What's that?
Get Brian to do it.
Get Brian. Brian McKechnie is the answer to all things Command N. And now at City TV, he's also my right-hand man.
I think that's so cool that you hired him at City TV. What does he do for you at City TV?
He manages City News International and finds all the related links to the stories. So he puts all of the video online. He helps me search for stories. And because he's so immersed in with the tech audience and what's happening online, he's great because he's going and he's finding links on Wikipedia, Delicious, Dig, all over the place. And so City News International, you have the main anchor and another reporter and me doing stories, and then we supplement them with related links that are external to the City News site. And he just does a great job. And we're also doing a video podcast there.
I saw like the first one where you're sitting on the stairs saying send us stuff, and then you did another one. How many do you do one a week? Is that kind of the goal?
Or? I'm trying to do two a week. And what I'm trying to do with them, and I've done this with a couple of them, is that I'm doing webcam interviews with people. For instance, I interviewed the guys from Sweden who have launched that Swedish tower. I think I mentioned this last week, that you can control the lights in the tower with your cell phone.
I saw your piece on that on City News International. That was wild.
It's really wild. And so what we're trying to do is that when I'm doing an interview, a webcam interview or a face-to-face interview, we're trying to take the full interview and release it on the video blog as well. So you can have an opportunity to see it, the unedited version of it, which is, I think, sometimes more interesting for people who are really into the content.
Did you hear President Bush's plug for Dell?
Yes, I did hear about that.
No question Iraq had something to do with it.
Let's listen.
And it's tough in a time of war when people see carnage on their Dell television screen.
It's tough in a time of war. People see carnage on their Dell television screen. Sounds like he said Dell
crazy.
To me. You couldn't hear that. I'll play it again.
No question, I can hear it.
Iraq had something to do with it. And it's tough in a time of war when people see carnage on their Dell television screens. The amazing thing about
the amazing thing is what a plug he got on Dell televisions.
That is so bizarre.
I can't
even just
it
hearing it again, I just can't believe it.
It doesn't sound like a slip. That's what YouTube is so great for. I just love YouTube.
I do. I love YouTube as well.
Is Steve Chen still on your Skype list, by the way?
I haven't seen him online in a week, Leo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sure he's still around, but... Yeah, that was fun. I'm glad that we got to call him up randomly and start chatting with him.
That was really fun. We don't have any billionaires, as far as we know, on this show. But we are going to talk, as I said, in a little bit with Scott Waddell and Chris Perillo about Undo TV.
Leo, can you talk about that link that you sent me that you said you want to talk to these guys, or do you want to save that story?
No, I don't remember what it was, though. What did I send you?
Something about preparing for your own death.
It's a new site. Yeah, let me find that. Yeah, I forgot to bookmark that in there. It's a new, somebody said, again, people send me such interesting stuff, and now that we're doing this, I'm probably expecting to get more and more like this. Wait a minute, let me find the link so I can talk to you about it. Do you have the link there?
You know what, I'll look, I'll dig it
up. It's a pre-need site. Here it is, myfinalparty.com.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the letter you get when you request more information. Hello and welcome to myfinalparty.com. By taking only this small step, you have made a tremendous leap toward greater peace for you and your family. Most folks never consider their own mortality as a fact of life. They stick their head in the sand and trudge on about their existence until it's too late to change. So apparently this is planning not only your funeral, but everything.
I know. I was pretty amazed when I checked it out, because the idea that you're sort of planning your final bash and your exit out of the world. But, you know,
I got my 50th coming up.
No, Leo, part of me thought, you know, it's not a bad idea if you really wanted to have a hand in, you know, what was going to happen at the end of the day. And if you wanted a big party or a big celebration, I'm sure there's going to be people who like it.
It's really interesting. Now, the website is not yet going. In fact, they have a you know, just a little picture of a turkey and saying that obviously it's a U.S. company, because they say we're launching on Thanksgiving Day, November 24th, which is a little late for Canada. But I do like the, don't you like the My Final Party logo with the angels halo around the body?
I think it's just, it's kind of hilarious. And obviously death is big business these days.
Yeah, and it's an interesting idea for a website. We have constructed
really
a website that will allow you to share as much of your life as you like and with whomever you choose. I guess it's kind of like an obituary. There are three levels to each subscriber's account. There's the public one, where you'd put the kind of stuff you want others to know about, like your party plan. We call those wakes.
Oh. And
as a matter of fact, we want your party plan to be public. That way, others who may not be so creative can take bits and pieces of various plans to make the perfect party for themselves. On the second level is the semi-private information, the stuff your family and friends need to know, so should something happen. You get passwords for them. The third and most secure level is where you want to put the secret stuff. I am actually a woman, and I have been my whole life, and when they finally inter me, the truth will come out. So I'm going to put, oh, wait a minute, I just told you, didn't I?
You did.
Oh, no. I'm just a very butch woman.
Leo, it's just like that podcast that we did where I saw that picture of you in a dress.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, well, it's going to a weird place.
It's leaking out now.
I had to mention, too, speaking of obituaries, and then we'll move on to a brighter and lighter topic. I found this site, Brian McKechnie sent this to me as well, My Death Space. So this is obituaries on MySpace. So people who have died on MySpace. So I think the web is, you know, there's definitely a dark side to it.
Well, you know, what's going to start happening, I mean, I suppose it's already happening to a small degree, but it's going to happen a lot in 20, 30, 40 years. People will have blogs that will have died, right? How many websites do you have? And I have. And at some point, especially if they're on a site like Blogger or Vox, they're not going away. They're going to stay there.
They really are. You know what I've been noticing as I've been spending enormous amounts of time on YouTube is that there are a lot of people who are going and then they're creating videos for loved ones who have died on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
And it's happening so much. I bring it up at work all the time because I can't believe it. You'll find out about someone who's passed away in Toronto, and then on YouTube when I'm searching for different videos from Toronto, there'll be, you know, the wife of someone who's passed away who's done a tribute video for her husband and put it on YouTube. Ever. I notice it a lot. It seems to be more and more common.
So the dead people on MySpace, this is mydeathspace.com, by the way. Are these people who had MySpace pages who have passed on?
Exactly. But it seems as though most of them were murdered.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
I know. That seems even more sad. Oh, my stupid phone is ringing, Leo.
These are fairly young people. It's probably Strombo. Go ahead.
Hold on a sec.
You don't want to miss it, because if it's Strombo. There's 1,092 people on here. They kind of have like a frapper map of all the people who are dead on MySpace. They're all young. I mean, it's sad, really. A lot of them are teenagers.
It's really sad. Okay, now we have to move on to something totally different.
No, I'm just fascinated, though. I can't.
I know, Leo, but you'll be depressed, and then when I leave, you'll be crying, and then everybody will blame me, and I'll get emails.
You cry because you left, that's why. I mean, I'm just going to click on this. Okay, oh my God, she died of cancer. Oh my God, this is terrible. She was very young.
I'm sorry.
No, you know what, people, there's something about this. People are going to want to go and read.
I think so too. That's what I mean, is that it just, there's something compelling about going there and, you know, just thinking, I think of the internet generation and people online as being sort of full of life and energy.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you see this sort of dark side. I don't know how much it will continue, but I mean, the site's pretty popular. I've heard about it a couple times before.
Well, if you think about it, it just shows you how young the net is. I mean, that death is a part of life. And, of course, everywhere else you have this going on. It's just that everybody, the internet's so new. But now it's going to, now you're going to see more and more of this. And there'll be a lot of these sites just kind of hanging out. I mean, what happens? Does it go away after 10 years? What is Vox going to do when there are more bloggers by dead people than there are live people?
I have no idea.
You can't shut them down, can you? I guess they have to put this in their terms of agreement. If you don't post for 3 years, we'll take you down.
It's just so sad, Leo.
I'm so sad. All right, give us something upbeat.
Okay, something upbeat. Let's see. I don't know much about this conference, but I'm excited that there was recently a conference in San Francisco that was all about widgets, because we were talking about widgets last week with Widgetbox and other companies who have created widgets. And I don't know why I find this amazing, but I think widgets are big.
Well, you know what's happening with widgets, of course, is that Windows is, they call them gadgets, I think, in Windows. But Windows Vista now supports these. So there is...
Sorry, I just have to say one thing, Leo. Gadgets are gadgets. Widgets are widgets. Sorry, it was just my little Microsoft.
Well, what's funny is these gadgets look just like widgets.
They're widgets. Why can't they just call them widgets?
Because they're called widgets on Macintosh. And they can't.
No, and it's frustrating.
It is. You know who's doing this is Om Malik.
Yep.
So, he knows a lot about this kind of thing. What I think, and actually I've talked to Paul Thurrott about this, where we were talking about the Windows Vista gadget. What we really need, they're all in JavaScript and XML. They all have very much the same idea behind them. We need a standard so that you can write a gadget widget. We could call them gidgets.
Gidgets.
And you write a gidget, and it works on, you know, Yahoo widgets, Windows gadgets, dashboard widgets. It should work everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So we missed the Widget Live conference, but doesn't look, I have to say, the site's not like driving me nuts or anything. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, that's too bad. It's not as interesting as the my death face. No. Oh, sorry, I went back there again. Okay, let's keep going.
No.
From BBC Technology News,
yes.
They have a story about how websites, specifically e-commerce sites, face the four-second cutoff. So if someone's on your site and you have an e-com site,
yes,
and it takes them longer than 4 seconds to proceed to the next step of buying something, then they will leave. And, there's always these stats that come out all the time, but it's good to know for people who are designing.
If it doesn't
online load
in 4 seconds, forget about it.
Yeah,
people do. Is it that they leave, or they just lose interest, or you just don't sell anything? What happens?
I think they end up just leaving, or they're just frustrated. They don't want to wait. So, you know, the response time, 4 seconds, is not a lot of time. But online, when you're trying to get something, it's obviously frustrating.
You better launch fast. I mean,
we should just be quiet for 4 seconds, see how long it is.
Yeah, let's just see. Okay, to see how long 4 seconds is. This is, in fact, we'll tie this in. We're a 4 second moment of silence for all the people dead on MySpace.
Aw.
That's it. That's 4 seconds.
Wow.
That's not that long.
It's not that long.
You better load fast.
Yeah. I've got to speed up the site.
Hey, I want to thank Evan Katz, who sent me a great Firefox extension.
Ooh.
Actually, I have a number of Firefox, and I know you love Firefox extensions.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple of Firefox extensions. One is called Super T. It is for people who want to have a lot of tabs. Did you show this? You might have already shown this. You can have multiple rows of tabs.
Wow.
Did you show this? This sounds familiar for some reason.
No, I definitely did, because I don't, if you have multiple rows of tabs, then,
eight,
you know,
tabs
the
a
new
row.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's some serious power surfing.
I don't think it's a good idea to have that many tabs open. Actually, that
especially now in the new Firefox, where they have the little arrows at the end of your tabs so you can see what's to the right and left.
You don't really need that. I'm just going to...
Oh, I'm not cutting down your Firefox extension.
It's okay.
Leo,
you don't really need this. All right, I got a better one then. You ready?
Yeah.
This is from Virgilio Corrado sent me this one. It's customizegoogle.com. It's not brand new, but I have to say I installed it and I'm thrilled with it. You're going to like this. It's kind of the ultimate, it almost seems like more than a Firefox extension. It's the ultimate kind of Google customizer. Here's what you can do. You can take all the ads off Google. But what's better, you got to try this, Amber. You can add links. So you'll do a Google search, and you can add links to other websites. So it says, make this same search on Yahoo, MSN, blah, 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 right at the top of the Google results page. It'll also number the results. It'll also do filtering. So you can add additional filters to the result. So say you're searching for something, you find a lot of sites that do it. You say, oh, no, only CNET. And it will do that filtering. You know, you can do that, of course, with a site colon search term. But this will do this later. You can turn off ads and frugal and you're going to like this for Gmail. Remove ads in Gmail. Make Gmail always secure. It always uses HTTPS. Hide the spam counter. Hide the quick contacts box. Hide the invite box. Use a fixed font for mail bodies. I mean, this is like one widget, one gadget, one extension that completely modifies Google. I installed it immediately. It might be one of my new.
I could try that.
Yeah. CustomizeGoogle.com. All right. We got a couple minutes to Strombo. So.
Oh, Leo, actually, I have one thing that I need to bring up. And this is, and I don't know if we can take this
part.
No,
okay,
it's not.
Amber, go ahead.
It's not bad, Leo. There is one of our listeners who has emailed me. He emailed me before the show last week. His name's Michael, and he has some horror story about Apple support, and he asked me if we could bring it up. And now here's the catch, is that I'm trying to get him to... I'm trying to find him in the chat room right now. He's in there. And I'm trying to figure out what the horror story is all about.
Horror stories. We did a horror story on Windows Vista podcast, the Windows Weekly podcast with Paul Theroux. He had a horror story about both Dell... our fine sponsor, mm-hmm. by the way, and about Apple. And the thing is, there's always horror stories about any company. If you have 50 million users, you're going to have a million horror stories.
Horror stories.
So I'm always a little nervous about focusing too much on one person's problem.
So I will get him to post it on my MySpace account.
Yeah.
And
we can talk about it, but it just always makes me a little nervous. Yeah, I mean, people will have horror stories with everybody. I'm not defending Apple. If you started to see like a lot of people with the same problem, that might be different.
Yeah, I can't even remember what it was, unfortunately. But I will dig it up and try to find it at some point.
All right, you have 3 minutes, Amber, to come up with one more fun, exciting, non-death-related plug.
Non-death-related plug.
Am I eliminating this?
Well, this is kind of... there's a lot of deaths in these links going on here, Leo.
How about Flash Earth? This was sent to us... as a link by, let me get his name, I guess it's Petrarch. It is kind of like Google Earth, but in Flash. Have you played with this yet?
Oh.
It's very cool. Flash Earth, it's called. To move the map, click and drag or click a position, press the arrow keys and click on the compass points. It is basically, you can choose from Google Maps, Microsoft, Yahoo Maps, Ask.com, OpenLayers, or NASA's Terra server. It's FlashEarth.com. Just go there right now, Amber. You just got to try this.
FlashEarth.com?
Yeah. And you can search for locations. Let me just search for Toronto, see what we get here. This is good radio. There it is. There's Toronto. And now I can use the arrow keys to zoom in or to move up and down. Let's see. How do I zoom in? I forgot how I zoom in. It's really cool. Beautifully done.
I love maps.
Yeah, this is like the ultimate map. I guess it's got a little zoom thing. Wow,
it's
look at
very
that.
Very cool.
You like it?
Yeah, I really like
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Petrarch. All right, Amber's going to go off now and get on CFRB. So everybody tune out this show and start listening to CFRB.
No.
Actually, you won't be there till 10. It's okay.
What kind of sick person are you?
I don't care. I'm not making any money on this.
I'm glad I got in the chat room today. So I will say goodbye to everybody.
And we will take calls, by the way, a little later on. I just want to let you know we're not going to not take calls.
The calls will be towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
And then next week, maybe, I'll be around for the whole show. So it'll be
you
fun
better.
Doing the calls at the end.
I'm going to go out with Strombo after the show.
Leo, I'm all yours. This is just a one-time thing.
Oh yeah, that's
it's
all right.
Due.
No, we plan on this, and I knew that this would happen. So I'm glad. Take care. We will we'll let you go, Amber. But everybody else, I want you to stay here because we're going to talk about something I know you're all very interested in, and that is the new Undo TV. Let's say hi to Scott Waddell. Scott is with PickSpot at PikSpot.com. They are our new hosts for the return of Tech TV. We're calling it Undo TV. Scott, it's great to have you on Net at Night. Welcome.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invite.
So, day after tomorrow, we're having a party.
Right on. We're going to have an event in Toronto, and it's a everybody's invited, but it's a kind of a launch for PixBot and Undo TV. This week, we've had a phenomenal response in the last 4 to 6 weeks from people who've been registering for invitation codes. And this week, we're going to start releasing invitation codes to people that have registered. So Tuesday night, we're having a preview event where we're inviting anybody who's in the Toronto area to attend, and we're going to do a full show of the Undo TV site and the PixBot system a day or two before we start releasing the invitation code. So it'll be a busy week.
Let me put you on hold for a second. I'm going to add Chris Perillo to the conversation so that we can talk to the Locker Gnome, because a lot of this has to do with Chris. It was his idea originally. Chris, are you there? What?
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Chris. Talk up a little bit.
Sorry about that. This is about as loud as it's going to get. I hate Skype.
You said that before, and I don't know why you hate Skype. It's a magical technology.
Yeah, it's just not magical for me.
Well, any level you could give us would be helpful, because you're very, very low. Scott Waddell is also on the phone from PixBot.
Hi, Chris.
Howdy.
Yeah, just shout, Chris.
That's about as good as it gets.
Why can't you get any louder?
Because this is a PC.
Oh, now, don't start me with me there. Can't you go in the preferences and turn it up or anything?
No, I'm trying. If for some reason or another, this just has never agreed with me.
Well, you're getting
at
better.
At least on this machine.
Whatever you've done is getting better.
Is that better or worse?
Better. Keep going.
Oh, God. Okay. How's that?
Better. Keep going.
That's about as far as I can go.
Okay, go a little higher.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, a little
is
lower. That... Oh, right there. That's,
right there.
That's good.
Okay. I can do that.
So maybe you can give us some history, Chris. How do we get involved with Scott and the PixBot crew?
Well, I think it really first started when a lot of Tech TV alumni just kept asking around what everybody was doing, keeping everybody up to date. And then I think Chris Kosach had mentioned doing some kind of gathering, and then from there I thought, well, you know, it'd be kind of nice if we could just update the whole community that's still out there and say, here's what everybody's doing, and then from there it's like, you know, we could probably make this somewhat permanent and you know, actually kind of aggregate all our content into one spot and really involve the community in a way that they weren't involved with before, you know, either, well, at Tech TV and then, you know, eventually G4.
I should add, it's not just the folks from Tech TV. Of course, we've been hearing the same kind of thing from all the former Tech TV viewers who said, bring back Tech TV.
Oh, yeah. And this is the best opportunity, because this way we don't have to go to Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't have to come to us.
Oh,
well, in
please.
Fact, some of them kind of have. But it's a chance for the community to thrive in a way that they haven't before. It's a way for us to continue to produce content that they're going, you know, people are going to be able to see, listen to, and enjoy. And then, as well, you know, look for some other community hotshots that are out there, and really bring to light some other superstars that, you know, we really weren't able to before.
Well, there's a lot of people. In fact, I've already talked to Brett Larson, and Brett said, "Where can I post? I have lots of clips and lots of stuff I'm doing. I'd like to post." I said, "Well, I got an idea for you, Brett.
This is so good. See what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
just so much goodness." is going to come from this, and I think it's long overdue, and especially now that Comcast has announced that they're melting G4 into, what is it, E?
E. Well, it was always kind of a business division of E.
Which,
I don't know if they're getting rid of the name G4. I don't know exactly what they mean by that. But
you know what? That name could disappear, and
nobody would care. They wouldn't even know.
No, exactly. And that's my point. And so, in doing this, it's not just, you know, just for Tech TV, you know, talent, but really anybody who wants to throw their own two cents in, and certainly we want to be able to, you know, bring to light some of the better content, original content that's being produced. So when you and I, you know, we started talking about this a little more, you know, we received a few different emails, and we're looking for various solutions, open sourced and private label stuff. And when Scott had sent a note off, I think it was off to me first, and I looked at it. It may have been off to you, Leo. I can't remember at this point. And then we looked together at what they had or what they were building at the time, and we said, this is a very good base. This is I came up with about 1,001 things that they could change, which they did, surprisingly.
Well, we're like Jack Spratt and his wife, because you gave him 1,001 things, and I gave him zero. So it kind of evened out, right? I said, hey, looks good to me. Okay, I'll take it. We were both, though, very impressed right from day one about the capabilities of PickSpot. So Chris has essentially given us the broad outline, which is it's somewhere for... And Twit's going to, all of Twit's going to be on it. It's not going to get rid of the Twit site. It's just going to, we're going to have a second place where all the Twit content will be posted. All of Pixel Core stuff will be there. Command N is going to be there. Lab Rats is going to be there. Hack 5 is going to be there. I'm still working on Norton. For some reason, Patrick Norton just, you know, he's very conservative. DLTV and Cranky Geeks will not at launch be on there unless I can get him.
Once
it launches,
yeah. They're going to see what we're doing. And it really is, it's about the content that we're producing.
He's nervous, and I understand.
Yeah.
I'm still working on Revision 3. David Prager has agreed in principle. Everybody has questions.
So that's the
rough idea, is that stuff's going to be on a website. It's going to be a lot of stuff from a lot of different groups. It'll be one place to go. Kind of to see all this stuff, but Scott, you can give us a little bit more information about what it's actually going to look like to the end user. Is it just a big old YouTube? What is it?
Well, I think the whole objective of the PickSpot platform is there's a number of people that have done a great job, like you guys have, in building a listener base or a community of people that, you know, like to come and read or interact with or download or listen to or watch the content that you produce. And I think what you're doing tonight on TalkShoe speaks to the fact that I think there's a lot of knowledge and information that sits in the community of people that watch the Twit podcasts or listen to the Chris Perillo show or whatever it may be. So we're putting a number of interactive features into the platform so that on Undo TV, people who may generally just be listening to a podcast or watching something while they're mobile can fully interact and contribute content back themselves. So there's the ability to upload multimedia, so you can upload of video clips or audio clips or pictures or text. The content is vetted by the community so that you're able to retain a level of quality within the Undo TV website. People that come to the site will still be able to differentiate between content that's posted, for example, by Chris Perillo or by Lab Rats and Twit versus content that's produced by the general public, and be able to search and interact with content in a number of ways. You'll be able to pick your favorite clips, embed them on your website, vote on the content that you like the best. We've added some, I think, some pretty good technology components like time markering that'll allow you to access the podcasts that are being produced on a time markered basis, so you can jump specifically to topics that are within the clip. So usability has been, I think, a big part of the value that I think we're bringing to the table. And I think by and large, the podcast type content has its audience today, but I think the potential audience is much bigger if we're able to address issues of usability, making it easier to access, making it easier to share, and making sure that the community of people that are listening or watching the content can actually contribute back by virtue of having their say on the things that they like the most, voting on it, and being able to submit content themselves.
There's kind of dig style voting on it.
It does. It's got that kind of a ranking system, but there's a number of data points that we're looking at in terms of understanding how well content is received in the community, and that voting system is one of the components.
Chris, you're going to put some content on there too, yes?
Oh yeah, all the stuff that I've produced so far, and I've had a very busy month this past month, but I still plan on starting to produce daily video at some point.
Oh, cool.
In the very near future. So yeah, I'm. There, right now, I'm still doing my program, and I think because of Undo TV, I may actually be able to go back to like a live type of call-in show, just on my, online, so to speak.
Well, and that's kind of my hope for this, is that it's not only going to just kind of be one single place that everybody, all the former Tech TV people have to put their stuff, but it'll actually take us to the next level, where people who haven't, as you said, haven't been doing stuff will create stuff. People like you who maybe will have a new place to put stuff, will do more stuff. It's, by the way, it's audio as well as videos, not just video.
Oh, yeah. It's everything.
It's text too, really.
Photos. Well, see, now this is the interesting thing, and this is, and the community has come out and said, well, I can still visit these other websites. Yes, you can, but we're trying to make it easier for people to discover related content.
That's the key. I mean, that's what I told Patrick is, and I'm telling Revision 3. Revision 3 particularly is saying, well, we don't want to drive site away from our site.
Right.
And I'm saying that's not the point, guys. You want more eyeballs on your content, don't you?
Yep.
And here's an opportunity for somebody who's interested in Chris Perillo, who's watching the Chris Perillo show, all three of them, and says, oh, wait a minute. I see there's a Control-Alt-Chicken. Maybe I'd like to watch that too.
Exactly. And it's and of course, it's not just the technology stuff, because some of the people from Tech TV have, of course, moved on to produce content outside the technology space, like Chris Kosach being one of them. I think Alex Wellen has also gone on to do other things. A handful of people. And then, of course, the community is interested in good content that may or may not be related to technology. So it's just good stuff to fill your life with. That's going to enhance your life, not take. I'm not interested in watching 3 minutes of someone sitting in front of their webcam blathering on about the bad day they had at school.
I don't think we'll have much of that.
Go to YouTube. Okay,
yeah,
that's
not
fine.
YouTube.
No, let them have that. I'm looking for stuff that's going to help me. That's really going to. I mean, in any way, shape, or form. I mean, right now. I mean, personally, I'm interested in a lot of home improvement things since I'm going to be moving into a house. So that's that's the kind of content I'm looking for everywhere, online, offline. It doesn't matter. So no. It's. I don't know. It's. We'll throw spaghetti up against the wall and see what sticks.
And that's what one of the things I want to say is we don't know yet exactly what it's going to look like or how it's going to work. For instance, one of the debates we're having internally is whether we have two channels or two sites. One, we know we'll have one channel or one site dedicated to tech TVers, but we also want user-created content. In fact, my hope is it'll be such good user-created content, and sometimes it'll move over into the tech TV channel. Will that be a channel or a site? We're kind of going back and forth on that. There's a lot to be decided. This is not the public launch, and I guess that was Scott's point early on, is that this is the public launch. Scott, is what we're thinking, maybe January?
Yeah, we're looking around middle of January.
This is the public beta.
Which mm-hmm. we need help with. Yeah, I mean, and that's the nice thing about working with Scott. I mean, number one, they seem to be always available. Number two, I literally send emails off with like 50 points saying
52.
Change this font, or this needs. Can it work this way? And they're very, very responsive.
Yeah.
And I certainly can see that reflective in the product that they've put together.
By the way, David Knighton, who's in our chat room on TalkShoe, and you should try this. By the way, TalkShoe is amazing, Chris. This could be where you do your live show again.
Live show.
He said that throwing spaghetti against the wall is not a home improvement. Just so you know, Chris.
Well, I don't know. You haven't seen our house.
David's kind of cool. I'm going to talk about this a little later. But David, in fact, maybe we'll get David on the phone. But he has created. You're into Second Life, aren't you, Chris?
A little bit. I don't get in there very often just because I have a real first life. So.
Oh, well, you got to get rid of that. That's just impeding your Second Life.
I know. That's the problem.
David's created a Twit amphitheater where we're, I think, going to start doing some Twit shows in there. We'll at least have meetups in there. Beautiful Twit amphitheater. It's in Mars. And then he's also just created a GizWiz, the Gadget Warehouse, Dick's Gadget Warehouse. So I am going to put a blog posting up on that on my Vox blog, leoville.vox.com, that'll have the slurls, the Second Life URLs for both of those, so you can go visit. And I think we'll start using. I think Second Life is another interesting platform for this kind of stuff. I mean, that's what's really exciting about it in general, is stuff is just exploding in content, in the content space right now.
There's almost so much of it, and that's why, having a spot where people can come to, at least this community, the community that, we had fostered together at Tech TV, and it has, of course, since gone on to do, great and wonderful things. And I think in many ways, Twit has overshadowed anything that you would have done on Tech TV.
Absolutely. We have a much larger audience than Call for Help and the Screensavers put together.
Yeah, I believe it.
And it's international, which I think is fascinating. I mean, we have listeners and viewers all over the world who'd never even heard of Tech TV.
Oh, yeah.
Scott, let me ask you about the vision overall for PickSpot, because this is just the beginning for PickSpot. This is one channel. Eventually, you'd like to do many, right?
Yeah, we're going to be launching with four or five groups inside PickSpot or channels, and we've designed PixBot to be a platform for interest-based publishing so that anybody can create a community and allow that community to grow around a specific purpose. And, for example, we have one of the other groups that are going to be launching next week will be the Wikinomics group, which is going to be tied into an upcoming book launch with Don Tapscott. And he was profiling that this week at Web 2.0. And so this is a completely a different end of the spectrum where you're talking to a business community where they're going to be sharing information and knowledge around, you know, how businesses can better create value by engaging with their customers. So that's something very different than Undo TV. We're going to have a group which is going to focus on people publishing and sharing and rating everything funny. And we've talked to, you know, people that are part of, you know, knitting communities where there's, you know, 5,000 people in these loosely connected communities that want to, you know, get together and have something that's a little bit more built around collaboration. So when we do the full launch in January, anybody who comes into the site will have the ability to actually create their own channel or group, define what that group's about, and the general platform also serves as a launching vehicle to generate traffic. So I think there's a win-win on both sides where sites like Undo TV will benefit from the promotion of someone like Don Tapscott with his Wikinomics group and vice versa. So we're designing it to kind of be a connected community where every community has a specific purpose and people are free to create their own.
Well, I'm very excited about this. We invite you to come to our party. It's Tuesday in Toronto at the No Regrets. If you go to go to twit.tv. We've got an invitation on the front page there, or go to pixspot.com.
Slash preview.
That will, if you come to the event, by the way, we'll be giving out invitations so that you can actually be part of the private beta, and then there'll be a public beta soon. We're already starting to move a lot of content over there. It's just something I wanted everybody to know about. It's coming soon, and the party Tuesday is just the beginning. I'm very excited about this. Would you guys mind hanging on while we take some calls from the talk show audience?
Absolutely.
Just be 15 more minutes. We've got people in the queue. This is always an adventure. This is brand new. This is only our second show on talk show, so we're just going to see how this works. Particularly, I'm looking for people who have questions about Undo TV and PixBot. Let's start with Avila Fain. Avila, let me see if I can pick you up and put you on. Welcome.
Hello.
Oh, it's, I'm having
How are
this.
You tonight?
I'm great. Who is this?
This is Andy. How you doing?
Hey, Andy. What can I do
How
for
you?
How can I'm? We're great. How can I help you?
Pretty great. Just want to know, just Undo TV. I went to the website trying to get registration number for it, and I couldn't. I tried up twice, and I couldn't do it. Wonder why.
Scott, what's the story with registrations? Are we handing those out yet?
No, we're starting to release the registrations after our preview event on Tuesday. We've had a phenomenal response from people that have lined up for an invitation, and we're going to start to be releasing them on a daily basis towards the end of this week.
So if you've applied, you'll get one in the email starting at the end of the week, but I'm sure you're going to roll them out slowly because we don't want a million people on there all at once.
Yeah, the response has been phenomenal. So I think it'll be probably over the next 4 to 8 weeks we should be able to filter out the entire list.
Chris, you kind of started something because you accidentally posted a blog post a little early on this.
Well, about the invitation.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make sure that people knew what was going on when we had the ability that people could sign up basically to get the invitations, but they wouldn't necessarily get the invitations right away.
How many invitations do we receive from that one blog posting?
Scott, are we close to... 10 now?
Yeah, we're sitting around 9,000 right now. So,
oops.
That's not a bad thing.
I mean, oh, it's a great thing. I'm not complaining.
That spells out, yeah, that is success in a basket for everybody.
That's wonderful.
You know, I'm beside myself with joy to be able to not just reconnect with the community, but really connect them with us in ways that they just couldn't.
I agree. Let's say hi. Thank you for the call. Let's say hi to Kurt. If you know this, there's a little latency going on here. I'm trying to pick people up, and for some reason it picks up the wrong person. I'm going to try one more time. No, Kurt's gone. All right. Let's take the next one.
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Kurt.
Oh, Kurt. Hello. Speak up a little bit. In fact, get a little closer to your phone if you can.
Yes, well, I'm on Skype. So I was going to say that Super T extension you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah. So don't do the Super T if you're using Firefox 2.
I just tried to use it.
Rats.
Congratulations on crashing Talk to a half hour before the show even
I couldn't get in. I had to call Brian and talk to you and say, let me in. I can't get in. We managed somehow. They've been very helpful in trying to get more bandwidth for us. And, remember, this is something brand new for them as well as for us. And we're getting a lot more attention than probably anybody expected. Dante Cast. Dante, do you have your own talk show? Hello, Dante?
Yes, hi, I'm sorry. I participate in a talk show with Aaron.
Ah, great. Aaron's one of the talk show support guys.
Well, yeah, actually, it's I think it's called Mac versus PC or something like that.
And which side are you on?
Well, actually, I've been a PC user since Windows 3.1. And I, of course, have a business full of PCs over all of those years, and we've had everything from 3.1 all the way through. You know, I was a beta tester of 95 all the way through.
All right. I get it. You're a Windows guy. I get it.
As a matter of fact, just to let you know, Leo, I started a web hosting company back when web hosting, the average price was between $200 to $250 a month per domain.
Well, it's gotten a lot less than that. Like $5. There's no money in it now. Hey, do you have a question for Chris or Scott?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that we were going to be on here. But what I find fascinating, I'm just going to make a comment.
Sure.
I love about this, and what I really enjoy, and I've been a follower of your content since you were on the show, what was it, Tech TV or whatever it was. And the bottom line is what I see here, I look at everything we're doing tonight and last week. It's very reminiscent of in 10 or 20, 30 years from now, we'll be able to look back at this and say, it's almost like watching Thomas Edison when he was doing his first, silent movies. And that's what comes to my mind.
It could very well be that we are on the verge of something big, or we could say it. You know, I remember sudo.com, and everybody thought that was the next big thing, and that didn't go anywhere at all. You don't know in this business. That's one of the amazing things. I mean, Chris, when we were working on Tech TV, did we have any idea what it would be like now here, almost 3 or 4 years later?
No idea. I mean, we had the hopes. I think what held us back at Tech TV was the fact that nobody knew about it.
Yeah, and I think it's still a problem. And even just our caller just then, he said, you know, when you were on that thing, Tech TV, go ahead.
No, I said I had to laugh when he...
Yeah, you know, that thing you were on. It's still an issue.
But it doesn't matter, and I think that's what it boils down to, is increasingly technology is becoming more pervasive. And right now it's still kind of a pain to get your lifestyle synchronized with, you know, all these gadgets and gizmos and phones and TVs and whatnot. But a lot of that is going to start disappearing real soon. Where you just won't have to think about it. Everything's going to be on demand, and the content that you want to find, the help that you need to seek, is just going to be there, and it's not going to be a question anymore.
I think the internet is a much better distribution medium, frankly. I had this problem with Tech TV from day one. In fact, I said, why are we building a brick-and-mortar business when everything's moving away from brick-and-mortar? Why are we working with cable companies when the future is in the internet?
Well, even that stupid blooper that that happened on the first Helpathon, it went around largely because it was ripped from the live show, the TV show, and then sent online.
Oh, absolutely. Far more people saw that Edison cylinder drop and break than saw any of our shows on TV.
But it was all because of the internet.
Yep.
And the viral nature.
And that was pre-YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Oh, way pre-YouTube.
Although, if you want to see that clip, just do a search for Perillo and YouTube, and you'll... on YouTube, and you'll find it.
You don't even need that. Just, I think, Tech TV blooper in general. It'll pop up.
Anywhere. So. Google it. P. Divac, welcome to Talk Shoe. This is Net at Night. I'm Leo Laporte. Hi, P. Divac. Are you there, sir?
Boy, I thought my volume was bad.
Yeah, he's really low. He's so low you can't hear him.
He's on a different spectrum.
You know, the funny thing is, people, you've got to have handles that I can read. This looks like Misty 3K Mist. Hello, Misty 3K Mist. Obviously a Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan. I got that much.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty close.
How do you pronounce what this thing is that I'm looking at?
Well, I think you just can read off the letters.
It was never intended, really, never intended to be pronounced.
No, it was more of a screen name, and I get questions all the time on how to pronounce.
We'll need to work on that. Well, nobody's used to the fact that their screen names now have to be read.
Yeah, I know. Is there a way to change that? Can I make it so it's my actual name rather than?
You know, I bet I don't know, and I bet it's you.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go.
Misty. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I didn't know we were going to be asking questions about.
Well, you can ask anything you want. It's all right.
Okay. I was wondering if you guys had seen the websites, either Pod Lines or Phone Pods.
No, what's that? Phone Pods or Pod Lines?
I saw the article on TechCrunch today, and basically it associates a phone number with a specific podcast, and you dial in the number associated with that podcast, and it'll play that podcast back to you.
Wow.
And so,
do I have to do anything as a podcast producer to make that happen?
No, you just submit your URL, and I think it somehow caches it, but This Week in Tech already has a phone number.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I'm looking, it's at TechCrunch right now on the front page. Listen to podcasts on any phone, podlinez.com,
yeah.
Or fonpods.com. Interesting.
The This Week in Tech one was, it's basically phone quality. Like,
Did they roll in ads before or after? Did they modify it in any way?
All I heard was, thank you, you're listening to Pod Lines, and then the show started. So I know they haven't done any ads yet as far
what's
as...
The, what's the phone number for TWIT?
It's 1-area code 813, or 831.
831-480-3911. 3911. TechCrunch is 831-480-3920, so I guess they're all in that same vicinity. 831-480-3911. You call that number. Of course, it's a long-distance call. Maybe that's how they make their money.
Probably. There's area codes in 605 and one in 408.
Interesting.
I'm not quite sure where those are at. It sounds like a San Francisco number.
And then Phone Pods just has one line, 712-432-3030. You call that line, and then it's got a menu of... choices.
Yeah, there's sort of like a directory, I guess, rather than actually associating each podcast with its own number.
Very interesting. Hey, thank you for telling us about that. What's your real name, Misty 3, Miss K, Miss 3?
Yeah, it's Jacob.
Hey, thanks.
I've been to the Apple store when you guys had those live twits there.
Where are you from, the Bay Area?
No, the Central Valley.
Well, we'll see you, I hope, at the Apple store. We're going to be doing a live Mac Break Weekly the day of Steve Jobs' keynote. At Macworld Expo, so that would be, I think, January 3rd or 4th, thereabouts. No, I'm sorry, January 8th or 9th.
Okay.
But you'll see more details. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there.
One of the things we're talking about doing is doing it in Dolby Surround. It would be kind of cool, kind of amazing. Hey, Chris Perillo, I thank you so much for joining us on Net at Night tonight. Now that you've found TalkShoe, maybe you'll consider doing the Chris Perillo Show live from here. It's a very cool platform.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. There's just so much to look at on a daily basis anymore.
I know. It's great to talk to you. I'm sorry we won't see you live in Toronto, but I know you'll make an appearance there using Skype?
We'll see.
Anything but Skype?
I'll try Google Talk. I like that better.
All right. Hey, Chris, it's great to talk to you in your chest.
All right, thanks.
take care. Scott Waddell, we will see you live. I'll be there, too. No regrets. Bar and Grill in beautiful Toronto, Liberty City, Toronto. We've got both floors, free hors d'oeuvres. The drinks are on you, not on us. And we will be doing the private, public, somewhat informational launch of PickSpot.com and Undo TV. And it's the beginning, I think, Scott, of something very, very exciting.
Yeah, agreed. We're looking forward to it. And again, everybody's welcome. So I appreciate the invite tonight.
Oh, hey, we're really glad we could have you on Net at Night. Thanks a lot, Scott. Take care. And I thank you all for joining us. We thank our friends at TalkShoe for making this all possible and working very hard to get it working. And, you know, we'll continue to throw bandwidth and servers at it until we can accommodate everybody who wants to be part of the show. Of course, if you couldn't listen live or you had trouble listening live, we will be broadcasting this via podcast, or should I say netcast, Tuesday afternoon. It'll come out on the twit.tv network. Our thanks also to Dell, who provides major financial support for twit.tv. If you're about to buy your next computer, maybe getting ready for Vista, they've got those great Vista upgrade coupons, so you'll be able to get your Vista on your new Dell. Starts with Windows XP, and then as soon as Vista comes out January 30th, you get an upgrade. You can find out about that and all the great Dell deals at twit.tv/Dell. That's the Leo's Picks page, twit.tv/Dell. And thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday on Net at Night.